The reading this morning comes from Colossians 1, verses 15 to 23. Supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Thanks, Robin. Good morning again, everyone. We're not handing Bibles out at the moment, so that's a no shared objects thing that we're doing. But I've been using Bible Gateway online website, so if you're wanting to follow along and you haven't got your own Bible, then you might want to read online. But hopefully I'll be able to point the text out to you as well, but you know, you can never trust me, so you always want to check what I'm saying. I've got to take off after church this morning. We've got a significant congregational meeting at St Andrew's, so yeah, maybe you could pray that would go well as well, but let's pray and ask God to help us understand this part of his word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you speak to us in the scriptures. Father, when everything else in our life seems a little bit uncertain, your word is an anchor for our soul. So we pray that as we look at it now, you'd speak to us by your Spirit. Father, we pray that you'd reshape us into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this knowing that's the purpose of our existence, in his precious and holy name. Amen. Well, there have been a lot of people who said, I wish 2020 had never happened. You know, you've probably seen some, those of you on Facebook, you might have seen some memes about that. But generally speaking, the year doesn't seem to have been too great, a little bit out of whack. We don't really know where things are heading going forward. That was a heartbreaking story earlier to hear about John Carroll's daughter. That was really crushing. But that sort of thing's been happening all over the place. I did a couple of pandemic weddings myself over the last few months for people who had to change all their plans. The Australian hip-hop band The Hilltop Hoods, who I know, looking around the room, a lot of you here are quite passionate fans of, they sing a song about 2020. And it's called I'm Good. And in the chorus, it says, I'm good, I'm good, I'm pretty good. Thanks for asking. That's mighty thoughtful. I'm good, I'm good. I'm not great. How are you? Because I'm kind of awful. And that pretty much sums up 2020, I think, for a lot of us all over the world. It's like our world is broken. It's warped. And now, what's the greatest human hope? The greatest human hope, of course, is a vaccine, isn't it? That's when things will be restored back to normal. You know, back to the good old days of 2019, when all we had to worry about were devastating bushfires, biblical floods, and a North Korean missile crisis and gender fluidity debates. Wouldn't it be great to be back in those good old days? Now, you're laughing at that, but those things were quite serious at the time. See, the unfortunate truth is, even after we've developed a vaccine, sometimes this world is good, it's pretty good, but to be honest, it's not great, and it's often kind of awful. I don't think any of us at the end of 2019, if we had to write a little summary of our life to date, would have written perfect. But that's just not how our world is. As we look at this part of Colossians today, Paul wants his readers to know that God's done something to unwarp this world. He's done something to bring the world back into sync, to unwarp the warped wheel. It's a hard thing to do if you ever try to do it, right? A warped wheel is, it's for the trash heap. But God's done something to try and unwarp this world. And what's more, Paul wants his readers to know, which includes us today, that if our faith is in Jesus, then our kind of awful lives can be completely unwarped, in sync, and at peace. Now, if you've been struggling to find tranquility in your life, I reckon this passage offers us that. So let's turn to it now for those of us who've got our Bibles. Otherwise, I'll try and guide you through the text. God's done something to bring everything back into sync. That's really what's going on in this epic section here in verse 15 to 20. I'm probably not going to do it justice. I spoke on this passage alone at Church on the Couch a couple of months ago, but here I'm just skimming over it. Have a look at verse 15. It says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created." I'll just say that again. "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." So in verse 15, he says, the out there God, the God of the universe, the God we often throw prayers up to like we're throwing coins in a well, that God who somehow exists beyond the sphere of our comprehension, that out there God has come in here and he's been made known. Greeks, when this was written, they worshipped images of their God in forms of statues, right? Statues everywhere around ancient Greece. This is saying that Jesus is the out there God in here, living in the real, in the flesh, to be worshipped. He's the firstborn, verse 15 says, over all creation. I love the Greek word for firstborn. Do you know what it is? Why would you know what it is? It's prototokos. He's the prototokos, right? Which means he's the firstborn son, the oldest, or firstborn as in most supreme. You know, in the Old Testament, King David was called God's firstborn son. Was King David the firstborn human? No, he wasn't even the firstborn in his family, was he? Was he the first king of Israel? No, he wasn't even the first king of Israel, but he was called God's firstborn son. Why was he God's firstborn? Because he was supreme. Among all kings, he was supreme. Did God actually give birth to Jesus as the firstborn human? No, that's not what it's saying. Jesus is supreme. Jesus is supreme over all creation. And get this, I repeated this bit in verse 16, in him all things were created. We have to think a little bit about what that phrase means because it's really, really important to us understanding the purpose of our existence. You know how you kind of go about, what do I have to do today? What do I have to do today? I knew there was something. This is the verse that says, what do I have to do with my life? I knew there was something. In him, all things were created. What does that mean, in him? Does it mean that the world and you were kind of brewed up in the sphere of his stomach like a cake's baked in an oven? It doesn't mean that. What does it mean, in him? It doesn't mean inside him, it means in reference to him. We were made to exist in reference to him. To illustrate that, think of spokes. What is the purpose of a spoke? The spoke exists only in reference to the hub. We were made to exist in reference to Jesus. All made to live connected to and revolving around Jesus. Before the world was warped, it was created to live in reference to Jesus. And that's clarified at the end of verse 16, where it says, all things have been created through him and for him. Verse 18 says, he's the beginning and firstborn from among the dead. We didn't even know people had died. He hasn't introduced that idea yet in this passage, but apparently everybody died. So everything was created to be connected to Jesus, but then somehow everything died, right? Sin came into the world. The spokes started a revolution. Have your spokes ever done that on your bike? The spokes decided that life would work best if we disconnected ourselves from the hub. What a genius idea. How great spokes are living independent of the hub. They're completely useless. And so death came into the world and death reigned. Until Jesus was the firstborn from among the dead. But Jesus, and this is a reference to his death and resurrection, he's the firstborn, which the Greek word is, oh, were you listening before? I don't really harsh or anything, but it's, thank you. That's why you're sitting in the front seat. It's prototokos, right? The prototokos. I don't want to make you repeat that after me, but if you did, prototokos, right? He's the prototokos, which means he's the supreme one over God's new attempt at creation, right? He's the firstborn, but he's also the firstborn in the historical, traditional, Jack McCosker's the firstborn sense. He's the firstborn human in history from among the dead. Jesus is the first human flesh to rise to eternal life. So not only was everything made to exist in reference to him because he was supreme over creation, but as everything rejected him and God tried to start things again, Jesus is again supreme, but he's also like the first fruits. All of human flesh can now rise with him, so that in verse 18 it says, in everything he might have the supremacy. And we get an explanation of how that worked from verse 19. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. Nothing of the fullness of God is lacking in Jesus. There's nothing lacking. There's nothing of God that's missing. He's the fullness of God, and God was pleased through Jesus to reconcile, that is to realign, to reconnect all things to Jesus. All the spokes that were skewed through Jesus, God was pleased to reconnect, to realign, to reconcile everything to him by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That's happened. All things have been reconciled to Jesus. Your cat, the trees outside, all things are now living in reference to Jesus. Even though we don't see it, we are either connected to him by faith, or we will see the reality that he is our supreme one on the day when the curtain of history is drawn back and his place as our king is made clear. You might not think this world exists in reference to Jesus right now, but God is very clear it does. In Matthew 28, when Jesus rose from the grave, what were Jesus' words to his disciples? All authority has been given to me. Everything will see it. Through his work on the cross, through his resurrection from the grave, he's brought everything back into sync. Now that needs a little bit more thought, but not before we go to Harden Murrumburra in southern New South Wales, where I was a little boy, probably about 8 years old, just been in my cross the pool race because I couldn't swim 50 metres because I grew up and we only had dams as a kid, right? So I just didn't go in the big races. But I was lying with my mates on the concrete under my towel because the concrete emits heat. In Townsville, the concrete burns your flesh off. but down in Harden, you know, you're kind of getting under there, putting your towel over you. And I was talking to my mates and I was leading a revolution. I was leading a rebellion. I was talking about how weird our teacher looked in her swimmers to my mates. That's not funny, is it? That's what happened. People like you laugh at me and encourages me. And so I'm sitting there under the towel talking about her, getting some really great laughs. And next thing you know, the towel's pulled back and who's standing over me? Any of those vivid memories as a child? It was very clear who looked silly on that day. Friends, the world was made to live in reference to Jesus. We rejected him. We've all participated in the rebellion. But God, through Jesus' death and resurrection, has made the prototokos over all things once again. And you may not see it. You may think, I'm disconnected from the hub. But one day the towel will be pulled back and the supreme place of the king will be made clear. Things may look broken and out of control, but all things currently exist in reference to Jesus, are measured in reference to Jesus. Somehow that means even this pandemic, this virus, it exists in reference to Jesus, in reference to Christ. God's reordered all things to revolve around his Son. Somehow, in this virus, in fact, in all human sickness, if you want to get your head around that, somehow, God is working in all of this to display the supremacy of his Son. Now, that's hard to get your head around, I reckon. There are a lot of deaths, in roughly 5 a day this week in Victoria. Somehow, in all of this, God is displaying the supremacy of his Son. Perhaps God's drawing people back to Jesus. Perhaps, even though it's kind of awful, God is trying to show you in this pandemic that there is no hope in this world that you've invested your hope in. Perhaps God's trying to show you that if you want to rest, if you want to be anchored to something, if you want to be a spoke that's connected to something, it's his Son. But all things exist in reference to him. I wonder if you've seen the supremacy of God's Son, the resurrected King. I wonder if this pandemic has somehow drawn you closer to him, if it's made you realise things can only work in reference to him. It may not have yet. What will God have to use? Well, in the last part of this passage, Paul says, you have peace if you have faith in Jesus. Have a look at what it says from verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour. So he's gone from all things now to the specific readers. All things have been reconciled to God, but now he tunes into the specific readers. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. All of us, each one of us, were out of sync with God. We tried to exist as independent spokes, which is ridiculous. We've already agreed upon that. Paul says we were alienated. You know, the word behind that, it means disconnected, estranged. It sounds terrible that we would be estranged from our loving Creator, but all of us at one stage were alienated from God. In fact, verse 21 says we were enemies in our mind, actually hostile to God. The idea of having to submit to God as our authority, the idea that our existence could only work in purpose in reference to him, that's offensive. That's an affront to me. We were enemies in our mind. We were hostile to God in our mind. And it expressed itself in evil behaviour, the end of verse 21 says. We intentionally did things that served our own purposes rather than the purpose of promoting the supremacy of our Creator. Against the will of God we lived. We were alienated, we were out of sync, spokes trying to find purpose in the world without the wheel. But now verse 22 says, and he's talking to believers here, people who've recognised that Jesus is the Supreme One, the Firstborn, the Prototokos. But now in verse 22, God has not just reconciled all things, but he has reconciled you, that is, his believing readers. He's reconciled us, if you include yourself in that. Our rebellion is covered over through Christ's physical body in his death. God has taken you from being a rebel who bears the consequences of their sin to being reconciled to him by Jesus' death on the cross. On the cross, Jesus interceded. He stepped in and he bore God's wrath towards your sin on your behalf. Jesus intervened to reconcile you to God. And we're not just reconciled, we're not just brought back to square, but we're presented, verse 22 says, or to present, But now he's reconciled you, verse 22 says, by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. That's talking about that last day when the towel's pulled back. On the day when it's pulled back and Jesus' supremacy is made plain, if our faith is in Jesus, we will be presented before God holy, without blemish, free from accusation. If our faith is in Jesus, that's what's in store for us. Now, I might ask, what about my sexual sin? What about my gluttony? No charge. Free from accusation. Presented holy, without blemish, free from accusation. What about my substance abuse on that day? No charge. What about my unfaithfulness? No charge on that day. Reconciled. What about the times when I've hurt the people that I've loved and I haven't even cared or noticed? No charge. If your faith is in Christ, will there be any accusation against you on the day when you stand before the Supreme One as your Lord and Judge? There will be no accusation. You'll be presented holy and blameless, without a blemish. Unbelievable as I look around this room. But true, right? Absolutely true. If your faith is in Jesus, you are reconciled. No charge. Have you ever flipped a bike on its back? My kids are at the age at the moment where bike is life, right? I've got 5 kids. That's a lot of bike. You flip them on their back when you change the tube and you spin that wheel around with all the hubs straight. It looks like it's one, doesn't it? That's us in Christ. If our faith is in Christ, we are reconciled, we're reconnected, we are made right, we are pure without a blemish. What about no charge? Free from accusation. God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If, Paul says in verse 23, and this is not a threat, it's an encouragement, if you continue in your faith established and firm, if you keep believing, if you keep acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, if you continue in your faith, you're in sync. You're in harmony. You are where tranquility lives. You have peace with God. Paul says in verse 23, that's the gospel you've heard, that's the gospel I'm a servant of. Paul has seen this is where peace is for the world. And he exists to help people to see it because he wants the world to look like it is, living in reference to Christ. I would love it if this world got better right now. I'd love it if we found a vaccine, and I hope we do. I think that would be a little taste of God's grace toward the world, you know, a taste of the good that he made us for. But even without a vaccine... Even with a vaccine, as long as our world lives trying to pretend that Jesus isn't the ruler or denying that he's the ruler, there's no peace. There can be no peace. If you go home tonight and it's announced that the Indian vaccine that they're now trialling on human subjects is a success, and you feel an overwhelming sense that at last there is peace, there is no peace. Satan would have you believe that that's restoration. There is no peace. There is only peace in being reconnected to Christ. On that last day when the curtain is drawn back and Jesus is revealed and we all stand before him as judge, there is peace if we are in Christ. We will hear no charge. I want to finish my talk today with two things. The first is this. If you put your faith in Jesus, no matter how awful this world seems, and sometimes it is rotten, if you put your faith in Jesus, he is supreme over this world. You should know that. And through his work on the cross, he's reconciled you. You're spinning like a hub on a fixed bike wheel. You're in sync. If your faith is in Jesus, you have peace. You have tranquility. You need to tell yourself that. You're living your purpose out. You're doing what you were made to do. And you cannot find peace anywhere else. There is no other hub to connect yourself to. If you have not put your faith in Jesus, you will not find peace in this world. You will look for it for the rest of your life. And you will constantly feel empty and frustrated. Every now and then you'll think you've reached the crest of success in finding peace, but it will not be attained. We are made to find peace in Jesus. We can find it nowhere else. If your faith is in Jesus, you have peace. The second thing I'll say is, if you look at the awful state of this world and your heart is troubled, and if you've been making jokes about Victoria, but you're starting to kind of regret that because it's getting quite serious down there, what does Victoria need? What do people in Victoria need? What does our world need? They need to be reconnected to Christ. The Apostle Paul got that and he became a servant of the gospel. We need to see the need the world really has, and we need to be servants of the gospel as well. It's easy to be lulled into a lethargic gospel haze where we kind of know we're connected to Christ and we forget about the consequences of that for the rest of the world. But if you genuinely believe this is the only place where the world can find peace, and you hear about the troubles of Victoria and your colleagues and your family and your friends, tell them about Jesus. Help them to be reconciled. Snap out of that kind of idea that everything will be okay any other way. Christ is the only way people can find peace, the only way things can actually be good. Well, let's pray and thank God for the peace we have through faith in Christ, and pray that we can hold it out to our world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness and we thank you for it, for trying to live independently of you, for warping your world. We thank you that through faith in Christ we have peace, we can be reconciled, free from charge. Lord, as we hold this peace dearly in our hearts, help us to see the need for it in this world as well. Help us to point people to the reconciliation on offer through your Son. Father, snap us out of our malaise there. Help us to point people to Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.